You know, communication is a very big part of our life. All sorts of forms of communication. We may communicate by phone or email, might just yell at someone, verbal communication. Maybe smoke signals is still your form of communication, or you ever seen the ships that have the light, they flip the flapper open? Was anybody in the Navy? No, but you get the point. You know, they communicated with the light or the flag, the different areas. Now in Holland, in World War II, they communicated signals to their troops by the position of the windmills where they stopped them. And then they knew that that was meant something. There was communication that went through that way. Now, verbally speaking, there's different ways of communicating verbally. You have different tonality of your voice. And it just is kind of interesting how you can present some information to someone. Now, if you were to speak to me, if we were having a conversation, and I wasn't saying a word, but yet I was standing like this, am I communicating to you? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I've had that position before. Now, or if I am kind of smiling as I'm looking at you, and yeah, I'm communicating to you. So now what do you do, right? I can communicate to my children. We talked about that this morning, didn't we? Just by the way that I look to react, I'm communicating to you. Now, communication is very important. And the way that we communicate is intricate. And not only the verbal or the presentation of communication, but the other end of the communication is so very important too, and that is the listening side. And that's what I'd like to dwell on today, is thinking about how well do you listen? And I'm preaching to me today because I struggle in this area. And we'll discuss that a little bit more as we go along. During his earthly ministry, Jesus often concluded his thoughts by crying out, "He who has an ear, let him hear." He who has an ear, let him hear. When he was speaking of John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15, he was telling about this man that was going to come and he was going to tell great things, or he did tell great things. "He who has an ear, let him hear," is how he finished those thoughts. And also in the parable of the sower, after talking about the different hearts of man and relating that to the farmer and the seeds in the ground and the type of soil, he says to the people, "He who has an ear, let him hear." And not only there, but in the parable of the tares, or those who are springing up inside the life of us and can cause damage, he says to the people at that time, "He who has an ear, let him hear." 7 times in the book of Revelation, Jesus uses this same statement. Every time he concludes his thoughts and words to those churches of Asia, "He who has an ear, let him hear." Why? Why did Jesus make this statement so many times? Well, I think there was reasoning behind it. What was the reasoning, the point of these sayings? It's like saying, what I am saying is very important, and you need to be listening to what I am saying. So you had better pay attention. Now turn with me to Mark, the 4th chapter. And let's listen to what the Scripture says in verses 23 through 25 when it comes to the thought of listening. Mark chapter 4, verses 23 through 25 says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even that what he has will be taken away from him." Jesus found it very important that we listen, that we hear what is being spoken. And we apply it to the extent that it is something that is given to us, and we will be given more based upon what we hear and what we do with it. It's like saying, it's very important what I'm saying to you. He who has an ear, let him hear. Pay attention and listen. It illustrates that Jesus had a problem in this time, and I've persuaded that that problem still exists today. many people simply don't listen. They just don't listen. Or they may listen, but not understand. They may be gathering the information, but just don't have a clue. Now, I'm convinced that many people today don't appreciate the importance of listening at all. And it can be concerning, can it? It concerned Jesus, and it should be concerning to us as Christians too, if we're not listening to what the Lord has to say. So I'd like for us to explore three different types of listeners that are listed in the Scriptures. So if you will go with me to the text, and we'll hear of these different types of listeners. And we're going to start in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 5 and verse 11. We talked about this individual recently in our study on Wednesday night, but we're going to rehash this person out. Remember, we talked quite extensively about Melchizedek and the teaching that was given to the Hebrew brethren at this time and how it applied to us also. And at the end of those thoughts, the Hebrew writer says, "Of whom we have much to say about Melchizedek and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." The first type of listeners is the person that is dull of hearing. Dull. Dull. It kind of doesn't sound good even, does it? Dull. You're dull. Dull of hearing. And what's this mean? Whenever the Hebrew writer says, you can't understand, these things are hard to explain to you because you're dull of hearing. Note that when a person has this problem, it's hard for someone else to explain to them. It's hard for someone else to pass their information along to them. It's kind of like this person has put up a wall. A wall to the extent that just what you're saying to them just bounces off. It never gets to them. They're so dull of hearing, they don't even hear the words getting to them. It just reiterates, comes back to them. It's not the fault of the subject matter. The subject matter of Melchizedek was not something that was hard to understand to the Hebrews, but rather it was the people. It was the issue with the people and their ability to listen, their ability to hear. Rather, the subject matter is not the issue. It is the person involved. It is the person who is listening. Now, Isaiah wrote of this type of person, and Jesus uses a scripture from Isaiah in Matthew chapter 13. I'd like to read that when it comes to someone who is dull of hearing. And Jesus said in Matthew 13, verses 13 through 15, in reference to his teaching in parables, he says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will not hear, nor and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." So what's the issue when it comes to someone being dull of hearing? Is it their ears? Do they need some hearing aids? It's their heart. Their heart has gotten to the point where they don't want to hear. It's just something that's just not interesting to them. I've become dull of hearing. I've put that wall up to where I'm not going to listen to you. It's not the fault of the material. Jesus was giving the material to the people, and he even put it to the extent that he put it in story form so that maybe they could understand this better. But still, they could not hear because their heart was in the wrong place. Brethren, my heart has been in the wrong place so many times when it comes to listening to God's Word. I have put up a wall and said, I don't want to listen to it. Because why? Because it convicts you. And it makes you think about where you're at spiritually. And it makes you go, I need to do something different, and it's uncomfortable. So I made myself dull of hearing. But we have to get out of that rut and become someone who will listen and understand and apply then the Word of God to our lives so that we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and be found faithful in His sight. People become dull of hearing because they are dull of heart. They are dull of heart. And it prevents things. Number one, it prevents us from understanding God's truth. We just can't understand if we're dull of hearing. Number two is it keeps us from turning from sin and back to God. If I don't listen to what God says and apply it, then I'm not turning back to Him and away from the things that I'm doing that are sinful. And number three, it's impossible for us to be saved by God if we are dull of hearing. We're not going to have salvation. It's just impossible. It's not going to take place. Hebrews chapter 12 and 25 says, "See that you do not refuse Him who speaks. How much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven?" Don't refuse the Word. It's being dull of hearing, refusing to listen to God who is speaking from heaven to us. So that's the first type of listener that we find in the Scripture, someone who is dull of hearing. Secondly, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 will give us a completely different type of listener from being dull. This person likes to listen. 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." The second type of listener is the one who has itching ears. Kind of wants to hear a whole lot of stuff, okay? But what kind of stuff do they want to hear? They want to hear what's only what they want to hear. They want to hear what's good for them. This is selfish listening, is what we could say. Selfish listening. "Such people listen only to those things which are pleasing to them." Now, I like to listen to pleasing things. And there's times that there's pleasing music on the radio and there's unpleasing music on the radio, right? And when it's unpleasing to me, what do I do with it? I might turn the station or get rid of that to where I hear something that is pleasing to me. Are we that way when it comes to listening to the Word of God? We only want to listen to what's good, pleasing for me. And the rest of it, I don't want nothing to do with it. My ears are itching. Or it talks about these people here who they have itching ears and they heap up for themselves teachers. They want to find those people who are teaching what they want to hear rather than what God is saying. And they'll turn away their ears from the truth. They won't even listen to the truth, but rather listen to somebody else's teaching because it pleases them. Pleases them also. They don't like sound doctrine. And in the second verse there, it says Timothy was encouraged to preach the Word. "Be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." These people that have itching ears do not want to hear preaching of the Word. They don't want to hear what the Bible says. They'd rather hear the gibberish that some man is blurting out because it sounds good to them and it appeals to them. Rather, God wants us to listen to what? His Word. Not have itching ears. Now, if you go back a chapter to chapter 3, and you look at verses 3 through 7, it's talking about these individuals in these last days. Perilous times will come. There are going to be these type of people. They're very selfish people, lovers of money themselves, and boasters, proud, disobedient. You're looking at a picture of that man right now. I've been that way. I am that way. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. We all have these issues at times, don't we, in our lives? But what's interesting about these types of people is it says there in verse number 7 that they're always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're gathering all this information. It's flooding into their mind continually. They're listening, aren't they? These people with itching ears are listening. They hear things, and they're putting all this information into their minds and into their hearts. But what are they lacking? The understanding. They're not gaining the knowledge that God wants them to have because they're not using what God has given them to learn and to hear. Those people with itching ears have a hearing problem. And I'm persuaded that our religious world today, probably there are more people with itching ears than anybody. They jump from place to place to find what best suits their ears, what they want to hear, based upon who they are living or how they are living on this earth. And it is scary what we have done in this society when it comes to religious things and how we will cater to and try to make it to where everybody is accepted, everybody is okay. We get their itching ears to satisfy what they want to hear, and it makes them feel okay, rather than using the standard that God has given. So, this first one was being dull of hearing. Second is having itching ears. And the third one is found in the book of Luke in chapter 8. And this is from the parable of the sower in verse 15. Luke 8 and 15. The text says, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." This type of listener is the one that has the noble and good heart. The soil that was cultivated, and it was good when the seed was spread upon it, and the seed grew into a ripe plant that was able to produce fruit. So the third person hears with a noble and good heart. Now, we remember the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. What are they known for? About gave away my answer. They're known because they had what? They were more noble, and what did they do because of that? They searched the Scripture. But if we go over there to Acts 17 and verse 11, we're going to find something interesting about what they did prior to being noble and searching the Scripture. They were fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness. They were listeners, and they had noble hearts, good hearts, and they listened to the Word of God. And because they listened to the Word of God, then they did something with it, and they produced fruit. They searched those Scriptures, and they applied it to their hearts and their minds, and they did something with it, and that was great and good in the sight of God. They received it, they listened to it, and they had a noble heart with all readiness. With all readiness. This is where God wants us to be when it comes to listening. He wants us to have those hearts that are willing to receive His Word, willing to listen to what He has to say and be able to accept it and not try to find something or someone that will teach us what we want to hear or put up a wall that keeps us from listening at all. Now, I don't know, you've probably heard of stories, and maybe you have someone in your family that's this way, that hears only things they want to hear. We always blame it on Grandpa, right? Grandpa sits over in the corner of the room, can't hear a thing, right? Until something's whispered clear across the room that he shouldn't be hearing, and then what? Hears every word just as plain as day, doesn't he? Yeah. I think we've all fallen into that category when it comes to the Word of God, too. When the things are being spoken that we don't really want to hear, we don't listen. And then maybe when things that aren't being spoken, we do listen, and vice versa. Where's our heart at when it comes to listening to God's Word? What's it like for us in our spiritual and daily lives when we are listening? What type of listener are we? Well, how can I become a better listener? How can I become a better listener? I've heard numerous times in my marriage, "You're not listening to me." Amy. "You're not listening. Did you hear what I said?" "No, I didn't." "Why?" "I didn't listen." I just let it go in one ear and out the other. Didn't comprehend what was being said or the importance of it. Man, it always comes back to bite me. Yeah, it's never a good thing not to be able to listen or not apply myself in listening better. Well, here's a few things to help us listen a little bit better. Practical applications. Number one, I'd like for you to consider if you have put listening into part of your worship. When we come together to worship God in heaven, are you truly listening? Are you listening to what is being said through the Word? Are you listening to what a man has prepared for you to listen to? He has spent time, sometimes hours, if not days, preparing his thoughts. And are you truly giving him the respect and listening to him whenever it comes to that? That's important. Put it into your practice in worship so that you can be blessed through it and someone else may too. How do you listen to God's Word when it's being read? Do you truly listen to what it's saying, or is it just something that we do by tradition? It's become something that every Sunday, yep, we have a reading. Man or young man gets up and reads it. It just becomes part of our worship. Or are we listening to what the Word says? In the book of Nehemiah, when they were rebuilding the walls, the people gathered around and the prophet Ezra was there. And he brought out the Word of the Lord, the book of the law. And he opened the book of the law. And do you remember what the people did? They stood up. They stood up as long as he was reading that Word. They respected that Word and they listened to it. To the extent that later on in the Scripture it says that they wept when they heard the Word of the Lord. They were paying attention to it. And they were putting it into their hearts and into their minds. It was something that was part of their spiritual being, who they were. Are we making it a part of our worship to listen to God's Word? Are you listening to the Word from the beginning to the end? I know that there's all kinds of distractions, and your mind can go 80 mile an hour one way and another at the same time that you're listening. And we can all get focused on other things and don't even know it. James is thinking about something else right now. He's serious looking at me right now, but his mind's doing something else too. We all have that capability. Why we have that, I don't know. But are you listening from the first to the end, from the beginning to the end? From the first to last. Pay attention all the way through. Can you expect to understand a book or a novel by simply reading a sentence here and there? Just bits and pieces throughout it? No. You're not going to get anything from it. From beginning to end. So listen to the complete sentences, to the phrases, to the wordings, and understand the context of what is being said, and you will be blessed by it. Look at the speaker. If someone is teaching or someone is speaking to you, focus on them. Focus on them. Why? Because you're communicating to me with your facial expressions. If I see a kind of a confused look, maybe I need to go back and rephrase the statement that I just said because you didn't understand it. I get that look a lot from you, brethren. Maybe I get this fearful look. Uh-oh, maybe I said something that I shouldn't have said. But get the point. We're here to build one another up and edify one another. And if my words or anybody's words are coming to you and you can portray what you're hearing to us through your facial expressions, maybe you'll get up and walk out and then we would really know something went on wrong, right? But the point is, give your attention to someone whenever they have prepared and they have taken time to bless you with their exhortation. And it greatly aids speaker in his next thoughts too. Gives him a joy to be able to go away from here knowing that he encouraged you. Look at the speaker. Don't close your eyes either. You know what happens when you close your eyes? Your mind shuts down and pretty soon you're nodding your head and you're sleeping. So be careful not to close your eyes. And this requires self-discipline. I know we're all tired at times. Maybe we've been up all night with a baby. Whatever it might be that has caused us to be tired that day, be careful that you don't nod off. Try it and see how it makes a difference for you to focus and pay attention to the person that is speaking. Read along in your Bible. Remember, the Word of God is called a sword. It is a tool, and it is something to be used continually. And if you're using it, you're going to have to sharpen it, aren't you? And as you read it, you're sharpening that sword, that tool that you have to be able to fight against the devil and all the things and the principalities and powers of this earth. If you have this in your mind. So read along in your Bible. Use it as someone is reading it here too. It's hard at first to keep it, keep up with it sometimes, especially if you're using different translations. But the more you use it, the better you'll become at that. So read along in your Bible. Listen with faith. And what I mean by this is, when you hear the word being spoken, realize that it's God speaking. And do you have faith to put it into your heart and into your mind and accept what is being said? In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it talks about those who were in the wilderness and they did not have faith. They did not listen with faith. That was accounted against them. And we have to listen to the Word of God with faith in order to be able to apply it and use it and be like that noble-hearted man and grow and produce fruit. Let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 33 and read a few verses here when it comes to thinking about listening to the Word. Ezekiel was a loved prophet. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 30 through 32. Here's what was said about Ezekiel and the people. He says, "As for you, son of man," speaking of Ezekiel, "the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, 'Please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord.'" They're excited about it. They're coming. They're inviting people to come and listen to it. "So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouths they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song, and one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument." They like to hear him, don't they? "For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, surely it will come. Then they will know that a prophet has been among them." So when it comes to learning to listen, learn to act upon what you hear. Ezekiel tells us of these people who heard and they loved to hear it, did nothing with it. Absolutely nothing with it. Just let it go in one ear and right out the other. It's easy to do in my head. What are we doing when we hear the word of the Lord? What's James tell us? Don't be just hearers, but doers of the word. Be doers of the word. And that's what God wants us to be whenever it comes to listening to him. That was James 1, 22 through 25. It talks about being doers. We will be blessed if we truly do listen and apply it. So, three different types of listeners found in the scriptures. Those who are dull of hearing, they put the wall up. Don't even want to hear it. Those who have itching ears want to hear everything as long as it suits them. Selfish listeners. And third, the listener who is of noble heart and is willing to soak up the Word of God and let it bear fruit within them. When Jesus Christ was baptized, he came up out of that water, and you remember there was the Spirit descended upon him as a dove. And that Spirit landed upon him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Hear ye him. Are we listening to our Lord? Have we heard our Lord? But we haven't put it into our bank, into our memory bank, or done anything with it. Maybe we've heard over and over and over again that we have to be saved to get to heaven. But we've done nothing about it. Boy, we're treading on thin ice. Because we don't know what's going to happen as soon as we walk out that door in this busy street. We're treading on thin ice. If you've heard the word of the Lord and you're doing nothing about it, we have a heart issue. And we have to work on that heart in order to truly hear ye him, listen to him. And then in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus said to the people, he says, "You call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things which I say." You're calling upon me. You've heard me, but your heart's not in the right place because you're not doing a thing that I'm saying. Jesus wants us to follow after him. He wants us to listen to him, and he wants us to apply and take action on what he has said. If you're here this morning and you need to move, be active, take action, and do something for the Lord, come to him. Do that this morning. Or if you have an issue in your heart that maybe you are dull of hearing, or you want to hear everything, but maybe not the right things, then we can also assist with that in teaching through the scriptures of how we are to live as a Christian. So let's stand and sing the song of encouragement. And if you have a need this morning, make that known.